Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Okay, are you ready? Woo! In my feelings, doesn't disappoint. If this is your first time, or maybe your first, like your second or third time, you don't know who I am. My name's Paula. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to just let you know that Pastor Jason is in Prescott, Arizona today. This is the According to him, this is the last Sunday he will be missing in a long time. So, he actually was talking to me on the way here today. He's speaking at a like father and son retreat, and he was talking about just some healing that happened last night at the altar, the response time about forgiveness and father wounds and soul wounds. And this is what he said to me. He said, Paula, we have like woven soul care and forgiveness into like the fabric of Hope City that sometimes I forget that when we step outside of Hope City, people don't know this. They don't know the power of forgiveness. They don't know that our souls can carry wounds with them. And he was just talking about how men were coming up and just broken over stuff that they'd been carrying for so long. So today, he's closing out that conference today with men and sons, and he'll be back next week to continue in my feelings. I'm going to be super transparent and honest. I know that's shocking to some of you because I'm so not real when I'm up here, okay? I'm going to be super transparent and honest that this has been one of the hardest messages I've had to prepare for this week. And I would like get down my thoughts and I would just be a jumbled mess. And Holy Spirit just kept telling me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You just get up there and be obedient and I'm going to do it. And right now, as we get ready to go into Matthew 5, chapter, verses 11, no, 31 to 32. My goodness. Right now, I want you to say with me, Jesus, my heart is open. Speak to me. Offense, shut your mouth. You don't get a talk today. I'm listening to my Savior. All right? Okay, we're going to start this out with a true and false quiz. These are really fun because you have a 50-50 chance, right? I always love true and false. Okay, true or false? Feelings are real, but they cannot be trusted for good decision making. Okay. True or false? My feelings in a moment do not necessarily reflect the reality of the situation. You guys are good. Last one, true or false? Feelings can change even when the situation does not. All right. So we can agree that these statements are true, right? Yet how often is the main decision maker in our relationships our feelings? Let me say this one, because Pastor Sheree's super excited. Larry's like, yep. The rest of you are like, huh? If these statements are true, why is it that often our feelings are the main decision makers in relationships? Ooh, dang. This is most detrimental when it comes to marriage. Right? Okay? I already hear it. Do you guys hear it? Oh, gosh. So right now, listen, I want you to know, we're about ready to read this passage. And right now, I want you to hear me loud and clear. God loves you. Jesus loves you. No matter what you have walked through, what you are walking in right at this moment as we talk, He loves you. This is not a message of condemnation and guilt and shame. This is a message of love and encouragement and a challenge to move forward. All right? So right now, we're going to read Matthew 5, verses 31 to 32. Jesus did not hold back right here. We're going to talk about it for a minute, about the context of this. Actually, let's talk about that for a minute before we go into this. Take that verse off. I don't want people reading ahead. Okay? Because I want us to understand the context of what Jesus, where Jesus was talking. In the society, in the culture into which Jesus was speaking to, the Jewish culture, first and foremost, men were the decision makers. They decided when to marry, who to marry. They also decided if they wanted to divorce. And when a man would divorce a woman, that woman would be left really desolate. She would be left without any protection, without any home, without any income. And she would be labeled kind of used up. She was unwanted. She was no longer acceptable for anyone else. That's the culture to which he was speaking to. Today, our culture is a little bit different, right? Okay? When a person is divorced, no longer are they destitute. There's resources to help them move forward. And so when Jesus here is speaking directly to men, I want you to take this on women. This is including us as well. Okay? All right. Here we go. Here's what Jesus says. You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. Ooh. Let's just stop here for just a minute and let me reiterate. This is not a message of shame. And I know there's many in this room who have experienced divorce. There's some in this room that are walking through this divorce right at this moment. There's many in here that have had divorce and have now been remarried. This message is not to remind you of where things went wrong. That's not what this is about. Guilt, shame, condemnation are not from God. God's word for you today is, let me lead you. That's his word to you. Let me lead you. Let me speak to you. This isn't the only place in the Bible where divorce was mentioned. And I'm going to read these next couple of passages of scripture just to set the stage for where we are. In Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, here's what Malachi said. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. I want you to realize what God was saying through the prophet Malachi right here. When a man and a woman come together, they're no longer a man and a woman. They are one. There's a holy union that happens when a man and a woman come together. And those two cannot be separated without severe damage. That's what's being said here. There is damage that happens at the separation. Damage to man and woman. Damage to children. The last verse that we're going to talk about is in Matthew chapter 19, where we're going to read verses 3 through 9. Again, Jesus is having a conversation, this time with some religious leaders, the Pharisees. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. Here, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split together what God has joined together. Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? They asked. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. Listen, this is what Jesus was saying. Even back then, your feelings will deceive you. And Moses wrote that as a concession because we get caught up in our feelings. And sometimes we make really bad choices when we just let our feelings lead us. Agree? Jesus did too. That's what he was saying. So if marriage is the joining together of two people into one unit, that unit can't be separated without great damage. And there's so many different ways that we can talk through these verses. And I'm going to focus on three things. You ready? First thing is to this group. Single people in this room. Be very careful before saying, I do. Be very careful. What does that mean? What does that look like to be very careful? Well, I think you should talk to Jesus about this commitment that you're thinking about stepping into. Warning, warning. He's going to answer you. And you might not like what he says. Single people who love Jesus, raise your hand. Look at, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, come on. Okay, single people who love Jesus, listen. This is what his word says to you. Do not be unequally yoked. Do you know what that means? Let me explain it to you. That means if you are in a relationship with somebody and you're looking for forever, you better bet that that person loves Jesus more than you do. Are you listening to me? Single people, the person you're in relationship, if they don't love Jesus more than you do, get out now. Because you're heading for disaster. If you love Jesus, your partner should love him even more. They should love him more than they love you. They should want to spend time with him more than they want to spend time with you. Oh, that is me. I like spending time with my boyfriend and my girlfriend. Good. I hope you love spending time with Jesus even more. Single people, the person you choose to spend your life with needs to love Jesus. And they need to be in a mature relationship with Jesus. So you shouldn't be dating someone that doesn't know Jesus in hopes like, well, I know they'll come to church with me. And I know that at church, they're going to give them an opportunity to accept Jesus. And then they'll accept Jesus. And then we'll both be believers. And then, no. In my day, that was called missionary dating. And it's disastrous. It's still called that today. Thank you. Okay? That's disastrous. The person that you are going to choose to say I do with needs to have a mature relationship with Jesus on their own. Not because you're walking with them, but because they're walking with him. Marriage, oh, how many of you know this? Marriage is not just a piece of paper. That is a huge comment or a thought process in our culture today. It's just a piece of paper. Who cares? And it kind of goes on both sides. Like, I don't need to marry this person because marriage is just a piece of paper, yet I can sleep with them and I can join with them in union that was only created throughout the bonds of marriage. But I can promise you that when that union pulls apart, you're both damaged in the process. You know what? I married this person. It is not working out. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. And who cares? Marriage is just a piece of paper. I can just throw it away as quickly as I signed it. Right? Marriage is not just a piece of paper. By signing on that line, saying, I do, you're saying, God, I promise to love this person the way you love them. Men, you're saying, God, I promise to love this woman the way that you love the church, the way that you love your believers. I promise I'm going to lay down my life for this person. Women, it means this. God, I trust you enough that this man you're putting in front of me, I trust him to lead me, even when I don't agree with him. I trust him to lead me, and when he's wrong, I know that you're going to talk to him, and I don't need to say a word. That's what marriage looks like. I know that's hard, isn't it? Make sure you're surrounded, single people, with godly men and women, and allow them to speak into the situation. And don't make a decision to marry just based on your feelings. Or, as Pastor Sheree so greatly took on, just based on your lust. Feelings will fool you. That's my next part. Married people, feelings will, mine says fool you, this one says fail you. It's the same thing. They're going to fail you. Your feelings will fail you, married people. Newsflash. I don't always feel like I love Jason. I don't. Okay? There's sometimes when he's chewing his food that I am like, you're disgusting. Why did I do this? Or like when he's coughing and coughing up a loogie. Ew. I do not love that. I don't feel like I love you right now. You're disgusting. There's times when he's angry and he wants to talk out his feelings, and I'm saying, that's not how I communicate. I don't love this. If Jason was here today, he could tell you all the things that he doesn't love about me too. Okay? Because our feelings will fail us. If my marriage was based only on my feelings, Jason and I would have been divorced at year one. I'm just being honest. Okay? People are annoying. When you're living with another person, like, all of a sudden you're like, you are really annoying. And your breath stinks. And you have boogers in your nose. So. And ew, you annoy me. But we have to be committed at the same level to each other. We have, each of us have to be committed at the same level. I can't fight for my marriage harder than Jason will fight for our marriage. I can't carry that. I have to fight for my marriage, but Jason has to fight for our marriage as well. If he's not willing to fight for my marriage, for our marriage, I can't carry him. We have to be willing to fight equally. Jesus addresses something that has been really misconstrued for a lot of years by Christians, the church, religious leaders, those guys. Because Jesus says this, that the only way to properly divorce your spouse is if they've committed adultery, if they've cheated on you. And so we, as Christians, as the church, as religious leaders, have often been like, well, have they cheated on you? Then you can't divorce them. Have they had an affair? Then you can't divorce them. You have to stay. Guys, cheating is the act of choosing another person or another thing over your spouse. Another person or another thing. That means, yes, there's that obvious part about having an affair, a physical, intimate, sexual relationship with another person outside of your marriage. There's also other things that can get put above your spouse, like pornography, anger, our words, gambling. The list goes on, and you know what's at the top of that list? Yourself. When you put yourself above your spouse, you're cheating. I need to say that again because only about 5 people agreed with me. When you put yourself above your spouse, you're cheating. And how dare any of us look at another person in the face who's being beaten and abused and verbally whipped and say, oh no, you have to stay. Screw that. Get out. God does not want you to be unsafe. And if you are choosing yourself above your spouse, you're wrong. And you're committing adultery. Jesus said these words because he wanted us to know we are not allowed to just flow with our feelings. I don't ever, ever want to hear this statement come out of anybody's mouth. It's going to be cheaper to get a divorce than it is to get counseling. Guys, if you're in a marriage that's uncomfortable, I'm not talking about marriages that are unhealthy and unsafe. I'm talking about a marriage that's uncomfortable, and you're like, man, marriage counseling is expensive. Well, so's your coffee that you buy every day. So's your cigarettes. There's a lot of things that cost money. What are you willing to give up to save your marriage and get some good counseling? And that doesn't count us. I am not a counselor. You can come and talk to me, and I will point you in the direction, but I did not go to school to counsel people. I went to school to shepherd people. I am not a counselor. Neither is Jason, neither is Pastor Shereen, neither is Pastor Avi. But I know some really good ones. I know some really good ones, and they are worth every bit of money that you pay because guess what? You are worth it. And your marriage is worth it. If you're married in this room, I want you to know your feelings will fail you. Don't just flow with them. And the last group of people I want to talk to today are people who have either walked through divorce, maybe you're walking through divorce right now. And I want to say this to you. Move forward. Move forward. Don't repeat the same things that were in the past. Maybe you married a person you should have never married in the first place. Make sure that the next time, God's invited into the equation. Accept God's forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Here's the hard one. Forgive your spouse. and move forward. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that you are tainted, you're unworthy of love. You're just as worthy as anybody else. And God has great plans for you. Our feelings will let us down every time, but God's word will always stand firm. His word says, even when I walk through the valley of death, he's walking with me. Even when I walk through the hardest times, he's walking with me. Even when I'm fighting for my marriage, he's walking with me. Even when I'm praying for God to send me a godly spouse, he's walking with me. All he wants is your invitation to stand right next to you and walk with you.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.